Before we go today, or before I go today, can we just kind of hit the theoretical times that we're meeting next, just to make sure that we're dialed in, no pun intended?
Yep, that's on our agenda. Do we, but first we should maybe call our meeting to order.
Hey, at 4:02 p.m., got it.
Okay, so on our agenda for today, part one was to approve the minutes from April 21st. Have everyone got a chance to take a look at those? That's where somebody says motion to approve.
I'll second.
I would move to approve.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? All right. I didn't see any additions. It looked like it was a pretty complete rundown of what we did last time. So then we are on to Rachel. Looks like you have quite a bit to say.
You're muted.
I'm muted?
No, Rachel.
Well, I got it, sorry. Okay. Yes, we have a lot to update you on. The first is update on our budget. So back in May, at the end of May, the APRC was directed to cut another $350,000 out of our budget. So that has resulted in a reduction in our temp employees. It's resulted in us divesting from managing Pioneer Hall. It's resulted in between parks and operations and recreation operations, about over $75,000 and more materials and services cuts. It's resulted in our director taking a furlough of about 10 days. And it's resulted in unfunding one of our office assistant positions. So basically, I'll talk about the office assistant position here in a little bit, but unfunding the position that was completely dedicated to the senior center. So that position was unfunded.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at right now. To talk a little bit about what's happening with Pioneer Hall, I've been meeting with the Boy Scouts and the VFW to come up with a short-term plan for those two groups to do a temporary or a short-term lease with the city on that building until the city kind of figures out what they're going to be doing with that building. But both Community Center and Pioneer Hall are going through some engineering process right now with Public Works. So they are both slated to do some structural repairs, but not till sometime, like, it sounds like March-ish of 2023. I've been working with city staff and the Boy Scouts and VFW American Legion to come up with a plan for a short-term lease on that building. And I think in the short term, it's a good thing. And I know in my experience working with both the Scouts and the American Legion that they are really good eyes on that building. And it's important for them to kind of keep some continuity through this time. The city would still have kind of a foothold on that building in case there's like an emergency shelter or something like that they would need it for. But other than that, the Boy Scouts and American Legion would have use of that building for now.
So does that mean what's happening with the maintenance costs of that building? Because those were $17,000, something pretty high.
So basically, because we're not renting it out to the public, we don't have any, basically there will be no maintenance costs of that building. And so anything by leasing it to the Boy Scouts and the American Legion, it saves our budget. And if only the American Legion and the Boy Scouts are using that building, they're not going to have much maintenance costs as far as just them making sure they clean up and keep a good eye on the building.
Will it still be used as a homeless shelter? And
so if it gets used as an emergency shelter in the winter, the city would have to come in. Basically, we would write into the lease that facility staff from the city would need to come in after and clean the building to return it to its normal condition. So that's kind of what we're writing in now.
Okay.
Because that used to fall on parks and now it falls on the city.
Yeah, the city owns that building.
It's what parks does a lot.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Can you say a little bit more about the impacts to the senior center due to the loss of the office assistant position?
Yeah, the senior center staff has had to, because of the loss of that position, has had to kind of condense their current staffing, which they have one coordinator position and are their superintendent position. And they've actually had to condense their in-office hours, and they've actually had to close their building on Fridays in order to kind of have a day to be able to catch up on, you know, non-customer related things like projects and things like that. Because what that position did that they had was kind of the front facing position that would greet people, take registrations, answer the phone, and now both the coordinator and the superintendent are both sharing the load on the front facing duties as well as their other duties. So I guess I'll just skip down really quick if you don't mind, Corey.
Okay.
I'll skip to staffing and I'll come back to the Japanese garden in a moment. But basically we have the city is going through, I think I heard at the council meeting the other night, there's over 35 people that have resigned from the city since January 1st. So they've got about 33 to 35 vacant positions right now.
Since when?
Since January 1st. And one of those vacancies is the HR director position for the city. We have three positions each. So each department in the city, including parks, has anywhere from 2 to 3 vacant positions. We happen to have 3 in parks right now. We have 2 park tech positions, park tech 1 positions. And then we're trying to float a office assistant position that is going to be a combined position between recreation and senior services so that senior services get something back. We still don't know exactly how it's going to work. Like the position would probably work 3 days at the Grove, 2 days at the senior center, something like that. But they would basically be responsible for all the front facing things that they can handle. So customers, registration, answering phones, you know, directing calls, all of those things, both at Grove, which would hopefully try to cover some of the nature center stuff as well as senior services. So mind you, we're going from a full-time office assistant at the nature center to 1.75 that we had at the Grove and 0.75 at the senior center down to 1 for all of those. So yeah, so you can see kind of how the ripple effect is affecting our other staff, our coordinators, our managers, you know, everyone. It's we're kind of all hands on deck at this point. But I'm excited that we will eventually be able to refill, you know, 2 park tech positions and an office assistant if we can ever get that kind of moving forward. We're ready on our end. We've got the job descriptions ready. We've got everything going. It's just a matter of when it comes up with the city and HR and how they're going to structure everything.
So you have permission to hire somebody now, but this is...
We have permission to hire. Yep. Okay. We've already gotten the permission to hire. It's just a matter of getting it posted on the city website and getting a process going, which all has to come through the HR.
And who's not there. Okay.
Yeah. We have an HR, basically Sabrina Cotta, who is the deputy city manager, is also the acting as the HR director. So she's got a lot on her plate. So okay. Any questions about staffing?
Okay, so there will be more staffing. It just means that you're on hold for that.
We're in a holding pattern, yes.
Okay. Risa, did you have something?
Yeah. Dorinda Cottle, who was exclusive to parks, I believe that now she's like juggling city issues. Can you?
Thank you for bringing that up because I forgot to mention that. Dorinda Cottle, who is our, she's our promotions analyst in parks, and she was 100% parks. The city, has really liked the direction that parks has gone with our, with the way that we've been doing things and our promotion. They like us so much that liked it so much that they needed some of Dorinda's time. So Dorinda will be splitting her time, as a city communications and parks communications 50-50. So we are actually losing more.
Yeah.
Not only, did Dorinda do all of our promotions, and kind of behind the scenes, like ActiveNet, which is our registration program. She did all of our, press releases, all of our event. I mean, so basically program guide. Yep. That. So we're having to kind of look at all of her duties and figure out what she can keep on her plate and what has to go back to other staff. So, thank you for bringing that up, Risa, because I forgot to mention that one. It's
ouch.
Yeah.
Can I just, I just have a comment that Joe Schmo Ashlander really doesn't understand the impacts of what has been happening at the city and the trickle down. I don't know the best way to communicate that to people, but I feel like the way that the general public reacts is they go, yeah, Parks doesn't do that. Yeah, Parks gave up Pioneer Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not an accurate description. That's a result of action that came from the city. And, connecting the dots without finger pointing, but just like sharing the facts,
mm-hmm.
feels really important to help people understand more what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that I concur, and I feel like there's an opportunity here for us to release even more messaging and information and factual information and the stories of how we're getting our work done on the ground level and what staff are able to accomplish, what we're struggling to accomplish, how hard we're working to accomplish, the things that we're still providing for the community. So I think that is something that we could do well to share more of.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings me to another question. Can our committee, people who aren't sitting here today, is there a way for our committee with maybe just one staff, a few minutes of a staff person and a parks commissioner and possibly that Friends of Parks thing that Mike is involved with. Can we, I would like us to come together and brainstorm and pick like five things that we can do, whether it's writing an article or going on a talk thing or whatever, but it's time to activate in a respectful, truth to power way. And I would like to be a part of that.
And the good question is whether this committee can do that kind of thing.
So my understanding is that if you wanted to get involved, the Friends group is activating behind the scenes. And I think that at this point, I can talk about the election in a second, but I have to be really careful about what I say. But they're activating and they're getting their messaging ready behind the scenes, and they're waiting for the initiative to actually be completed and filed.
So for a November election.
Yeah. So once that's done, then my understanding is that they're working on their messaging now, and they're working closely with a few people. And once the initiative is filed and they can go public, they're raising money right now. They're looking at doing like they're looking at needing to raise about $10,000, I believe. They're going to do like a campaign of yard signage and messaging that's going to go out. My understanding is pretty strongly right after the initiative is filed.
Rachel?
Yeah.
I don't even know if this is a war that can be waged, but is the Friends group planning on getting active on social media like Nextdoor and Instagram and Facebook? Do you have any idea?
I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure, but I can put you all, if you all want to be in touch with that group, I'm happy to put you in touch with them or pass along. I think Mike Gardner and Rich Russell. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I can ask them.
Jim Bachman is the treasurer, and so anybody interested in getting involved, I would suggest you contact Mike or Jim, and they're just getting their website up, and then they can't accept money right now, but it's getting really close. So not to strategize or campaign over the Zoom, but anybody interested in the Friends group, contact them and say, hey, here's my expertise. Risa, you're the swim expert. And so you got plenty to say about swimming. You have a lot of expertise in that, and say, hey, you know, that's my article is something about how the impacts of this whole budget thing is happening and how these two separate ballot issues are going to affect parks, you know? And so once we see the verbiage of them, we can strategize a little better because, I mean, we kind of know the framework of them, and it's basically just stripping the parks commissioners of any autonomy. It's the last of the autonomy is gone. The budget went a while ago, and now the part that we just will be talking heads and have really no purpose. And so, you know, it's pretty serious. They'll have their argument why we should be doing this, but you know, I think Risa, you're right on. We got to show an intelligent verbiage how this is going to affect if these two things pass. And so, it's just in the formulating stages of getting all the logistics down. Really, they're having a meeting today, I think, at some point, and so. We have a meeting on Thursdays and get together and talk about, you know, kind of what they need to do. So
that's probably, I want to say that's probably the outlet for it is not this group, but that group.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we can get in touch with them.
Yeah.
But Libby, did you want to add something in there?
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I kind of see that as two different approaches to messaging. One has to go through the Friends group because it's related specifically to the anticipated results of the ballot initiatives, right? So that needs to be outside of the hands of staff, and it needs to be done through the Friends group if people have an opinion about the particular, you know, effects of that legislation, effects of those initiatives that people are going to vote on. But I do think that it's conceptually a little different to share information about the budgetary changes and how they're affecting Parks and Rec actively in the moment. None of that has to have a political, I can see how some people could take that to be political in nature, but I think that a lot of it is what Risa was just sharing, speaking the truth and factual information about how these cuts have caused these reductions. This is how we're pivoting. This is how staff has been forced to make these choices. These are the projects and activities that you won't be seeing. This is why the Nature Center isn't open. Mea culpa, we wish it was. These are the things that you probably won't be getting, and these are the direct consequences of budgetary cuts that are happening. So I just wanted to throw out there that I think we might, in my opinion, we can be a little bit more free to talk about those things. And then, of course, if it's legislative in nature, we need to go through the Friends group.
I agree with you, Libby, because here's the thing. If it's part of the Friends group, which I'm not dissing the Friends group, but the thing is that the facts are not political. The facts are information. People need to hear that information, not associated wholly with politics, and come to their own conclusions, not be with this group, be with this group. That's like that. It's so divisive. And whether the Friends group is successful or not, parks should not function as a victim, waiting for something to happen, I think, but be proactive, not positive, not negative, but delicately communicate the truth, independent of this ballot measure or that ballot measure.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I guess I see the Friends as just a group to go to get that side of the story. And hey, I would suggest go to ACES and see what they have to say, because, you know, if you want to do your due diligence, you got to look at both sides of the issue. And at that point, you know, I guess the fear of what I see is what Libby's talking about is ACES tends to weaponize everything. And so if you're right on the edge of whether, well, this person works for the parks or this person is a commissioner, you have to really keep arm's length and distance between the commissions and you working for the city. And, you know, I mean, on your own time, you can do anything you want. It's just got to be made perfectly clear that because they will ride these things if they see it not perfectly kosher in some way. And so it's because it is really tough to try to not politicize it, because hey, the commissioners are a political entity and the council is a political entity and the mayor. So I keep getting back to the original city charter. Is the reason they did all this was to separate politics from parks. It's just so obvious how smart they were way back when to say, well, politics is rampant in the city and council, and then the parks is different though. And so we'll have our own separate thing. They'll have their own separate millage and they'll have their own separate commission. So you can elect these people to run the parks, and they're not the mayor and the city administrator and the council. They don't have the expertise. We have the expertise because that's our one job we have in the city, is to take care of parks. And, you know, you can really say how well we've done. Make a great case for that. But like you say, when the stuff I read on the ACES side, you know, they just tend to villainize things so much that it's frustrating and upsetting and disappointing. So that's kind of, I know that.
So